Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, heartache. You old gloomy say. Good morning, heartache. We said goodbye last night. I turned and tossed until it seemed you had gone. But here you are with the dawn. Wish I'd forget you, but you're here to stay. It seems I met you when my love went away. Now every day I stop by saying to you, good morning, Holly, what's new?
Your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and this is also Bringing Sexy Back. I want to say good evening to everybody out there that's listening, I'm sorry, and stop by the show, because you could be anywhere tonight. You could be going out of town or, you know, with your families or whatever, but you stop by Delicious Talk Show tonight, and I appreciate that. Tonight is going to be a very serious show because of the subject matter. If there are any children listening, I suggest you switch to another station because it is sexual nature in the conversation that we're getting ready to have. I also have a returning guest on the show, with Deborah Cooper, who is a dating expert. Did I get that right, Deborah?
Yeah, dating expert and relationship advice columnist.
Right, okay. Well, she's a returning guest on the show, so tonight's topic is incest, rape, and kinky sex. What do they all have in common? And some of you may be thinking, well, I can understand the incest and the rape, but kinky sex. Well, what they all have in common, as far as I'm concerned, is they are sexual abuse. And we're going to get on the topic of kinky sex, how, even though in some instances it's kinky sex, but it can become abusive. But we're going to start off with incest. And quite sure all of you are familiar with incest as well. Now, let me say good evening, first of all, to my co-host, Rhea. How are you, darling?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. And to Danny as well. Sorry. Good evening, Danny.
Hello.
How are
Hello.
You?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I am fantastic, you know, just ready to get into this topic because it's really something serious going on here with, you know, these sexual abuse things that are happening to women, children, men, and animals, you know, because I've been lately seeing on the news and on the internet how these dogs are being raped by sick individuals, because I can't even say by men, because I can't see a man raping a dog, you know, or a man raping a woman. So we're just speaking of the males who do these horrendous acts, because I can't put the label of them being men, because men don't do things like that. So, Debbie, what do you want to say as far as, like, the incest thing? I know there's the video that I had suggest that, you know, you to watch, you ladies to watch it. Did everybody get a chance to watch it?
I did.
I got a chance.
Okay, you got to watch it, Danny. Rhea, did you get to watch it?
I watched most of it.
Okay. And Deborah, I know you have watched it. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to first let Deborah start off with, you know, what was her intake on that video, and then we're all going to chime in and, you know, put it out there what, you know, how the act of incest can have such traumatic impact on a child.
Yeah, that was really sad. I was glad it wasn't too long, so I was able to tolerate it. You know, it was only a 30-minute documentary, but it was very powerful in that it showed the mental and emotional breakdown of children when they're in an environment where they are being victimized by their caretaker, which is, you know, when you're a small child, you're dependent on people for their love, and that's, it's supposed to be a trusting, open relationship. Instead, this one person that every child dreams is their protector and is going to teach them and love them is the one who was hurting them. So that child has no safe psychological space. So, of course, they never learn to trust anybody. They grow up with this feeling of just total betrayal of everything human. And, you know, looking at what's happening in communities, I mean, this stuff's going on all over the world, it's no wonder we have so many damaged people.
Yeah, that is true, because the little girl was damaged, and, you know, it turned out to, you know, started to be getting better in her life because of this fact that, you know, her, you know, dealing with that therapy. But just imagine the children who don't get the therapy, and imagine the children who stay in that environment, you know, who go through that all of their lives, and then how
right.
they turn out. Look at the Jeffrey Dahmers and the, what are those other guys? Well, you just, you know, those are examples of that. You know, if a child goes through that from a young age and continuously goes through that throughout life, you have created a monster.
Yeah. They're straight psychopaths.
Yeah. So, and that little girl, she has so much rage. And, I mean, it was chilling when I first watched it because, you know, she was just so matter of fact. You know, like when the psychologist asked her, you know, what did you want to do with the knife? She said, I wanted to kill my brother, my mommy, and my daddy. And, you know, no type of, you know, like there was no type of, her having any type of recourse of, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble, because she had no conscience. You know, she didn't trust anybody. She never was loved. So she had no conscience and no sense of direction. So to her, getting all that pain, hurt, and anger out was what she wanted to do to her parents and to her brother. And her little brother caught a lot of her rage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she really was hurting. That girl was in such pain, you know, but like I said, when she got to, and it was a good thing that the parents that had adopted her, it's a good thing they didn't, you know, trash her, because some parents couldn't put up with the things that little girl was doing, how she would get up in the middle of the night and go and, you know, punched her brother in the stomach so bad until they thought he had some type of, something was wrong with his intestines from the pain that he was displaying. And then kind of find out that she was doing that to him, then how she was sticking pins in his penis and pulling it and pinching it. And, you know, all those things was just rage coming out of that child.
Yeah, it was very, very sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. And then the fact she even inflicted pain on herself, because when she would masturbate, it was just... do it to the point where she said that it was raw down there and it was bleeding down there and all kind of things was down there from my fingers, you know, and I'm quite sure she didn't really know what masturbation really is all about, but just the point of maybe that's what her father was doing to her, so she wants to, I just hurt herself as well, you know, because I guess she just felt like she wasn't anything.
Yeah, she was recreating the pain, and that is a standard, even though we don't really understand why people do that, that is a standard psychological maneuver. It's like humans want to put themselves back in that painful position and then create a different outcome in the belief that if I can, you know, it's kind of like Groundhog Day. You know, you just keep doing it over and over and over, trying to hope for a different result somehow, some kind of way. And that's a standard way that people do things. And I just felt so bad. She's so young. I mean, just a baby.
Right. Right. 6.5 years old. And how her and her little brother was so abused by the father. You know, I just want to know what goes on in a man, in a male's mind when he sexually abuses his own child, or when he sexually abuses a woman, you know, or a little girl. What goes on in their mind? You know, because just like that little girl, she could have grown up, and if, you know, if she didn't get help, maybe she would have began to do the things that, remember the girl who played Monster, I think her name was Letourneau. I can't remember her first name, but she was the first female serial killer, because she had went through horrendous acts of being raped by her mother's boyfriends, and every time she would get a man, he would beat her and rape her. So she got to the point where she was going to get them first. So she became a serial killer, you know, killing men, you know, who she even thought would try to rape her or just would kill them out of the fact of releasing that pain. So... It's a lot that, especially for children, to go through opposed to an adult, because children, they cannot decipher different types of emotions that, you know, if you're an adult, you know, and sometimes when you tell a child, tells somebody something's happened to them, sometimes the adults won't even believe them. They say, well, you know, you're just imagining that. That didn't happen.
Well, yeah, they don't want to have to do, you know, because one of the things I've been working on, I've been doing the survey on child sexual abuse. I mean, I'm targeting the Black community on this one, though, because it's such a hush-hush thing. But the thing that's been most disturbing is how many women responded to the survey and said that they had never told anyone. And the second most disturbing thing was how many instances the perpetrator was their own father.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not uncommon. It's not uncommon at all. It's just not really talked about. Fathers and stepfathers were like neck and neck for the perpetrators, and then mom's boyfriend was a close second.
I'm getting some feedback on somebody's phone. Okay, that's better. Yeah, because, you know, then when it happens in families, I remember this young girl. This was when I was young myself. We had went to a friend's house, and her and her father was coming out. And at first I didn't know that it was her father because they was like, you know, hugged up, and, you know, had some little children running in front of them. And someone had mentioned that that was her father and those were their children. I said, wait a minute, hold up. What is that all about? Something to the fact that the mother had, I don't know if she had died or whatever, but the girl had gotten into a relationship with her father and had children for him. And I'm
okay, but we have to change that because she didn't get in a relationship with him. That's not a relationship. That is a young woman who was sexually molested by her own father. So
mm-hmm.
it's, you know what I mean? When you say relationship, that implies that there's two consenting adults that agreed
mm-hmm.
to do this. So, you know, it kind of is a euphemism and a polite way to, you know, to avoid what really happened is her dad raped her. She had some babies.
Right.
And then, you know what I mean? And so now, you know, I don't know how old she was, but if she was an 18-year-old adult and made this conscious decision to sleep with her father, it was child molestation and she was raped by her own dad.
Well, even if she was 18 years old, it still could be considered as rape, you know, and incest by her father because sometimes these girls, they just give in after they go through it so much with their father or with their uncle or with their brother, then they just settle for it. But it does start off as rape. And I had a guest on one of my shows who was in a relationship, she was in a relationship with her father because she said that when she was 15, she said that she lived with her mom and her dad and her mom were separated, but she really loved her father. And when he would come and see her, you know, she would be all excited and, you know, different things like that. So when he picked her up one day, he took her to a hotel. And that's when he gave her some cocaine. Then he, you know, laid her down on the bed and, you know, started kissing on her. And she's laying there, but what's going through her mind is, you know, what's going on? But she still wanted, you know, her father to, you know, touch her. And the next thing she knew, they was having sex. So from that point on, he used her in every kind of way. He sold her on the corner. He made her purchase his drugs. I mean, he just treated her like a piece of trash. But she was so in love with him, in love with her father.
Well, that's to be expected because a little girl's first love is always her daddy, always.
That's true.
What he did was manipulate that in a way that was toxic to her. He was a horrible, horrible person. And again, since she was a minor child, that's not a relationship. That is someone victimizing a child and using the child's love for him and their, you know, as her father against her. He's using it like a tool to wage war against her. And that's just foul. And that's called coercion. And it is definitely falls under the category of rape, especially at her age. And, you know, it shows that he plotted and planned it. He had gave her illegal drugs. He took her to a hotel. And then he raped her. Then he pimped her. I mean, the guy is just a jerk. And usually
right.
when they do stuff like that, they do it to hurt the mother. They want to get back at the mother for you leaving them.
Wow. Well, Danny, what did you think of A Child of Rage?
It was crazy. It was sad. Like I said, I watched the whole thing, and I just felt bad. Like, my heart just went out to her because the thing about a child, and I think some people don't realize, they remember everything. Like, a crucial part in their life is, like, a kid can remember everything. And the fact that she can remember details like that and even can just relive that, it just has to be crazy. Like, very psychological, like, hell for when she grows up. I've been there before, so I can just, you know, relate with her with some of the things, and it was just sad. You know, I did watch the whole thing, but it was just sad to me. Like, it was so sad. It was crazy. And I felt bad for the parents that, you know, they wanted kids, and the fact that they got what they got. I mean, you can't pick and handpick who you want as far as, you know, adopting and what kind of kids you want, but the fact that it's scary when you come to adopt, because that's some kind of, you know, that sometimes is the thing that you get when you adopt someone else's kid. And I know that they said they really wanted kids and stuff like that. It was just sad for the whole family. But the fact that they kept on and they kept her and her brother, and, you know, still try to install and still try to teach and get her help, I thought that was pretty decent how they continued to still do that.
Well, he was a pastor. He better. That
yeah.
wasn't going to look very good.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is definitely true.
So what did you think of it, Rhea?
I didn't watch the very end of it
mm-hmm.
yet. My computer froze up. But the matter-of-factly way that child spoke scared me to the core.
Yeah.
And if you look at her eyes, they looked wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, that child is stone dead crazy. She was too calm when she spoke about sticking him and stabbing him and how, oh, they have to lock her in her room.
Mm-hmm.
Because she does things at night. And I'm sitting here looking, and she just so matter-of-factly about it. The only part that it seemed like she didn't want to open up completely about was her killing those birds.
Mm-hmm.
When she spoiled, she said she asked were they dead, and they told her they were dead. And then he said, but didn't you squeeze those birds? And she said, yes. And he said, well, you've been doing so well, just go ahead and tell. He had to coach her on that part. But he didn't have to coach her on none of those other parts. And that was just point blank scary to me. And you sit back and think about, suppose she hadn't gotten no help or whatever, because I'm hoping that things turned out better. And this mm-hmm. is what is being inflicted upon society now. It just, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, really? That was really, I mean, her matter-of-fact way of telling it, and, you know, that I hurt him, and I hurt him bad. I mean, it's
yeah.
like she knew that, and she that was like, wow. That was really scary, and for her to be so small of a, you know, person, and there already, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that was scary to me. That I was like, Okay,
yeah,
and I'm glad she got with the family she got with, because a lot of people would not have put up with that, especially when they, from what I they didn't tell them initially about the damage of that girl.
Right.
All right? Because I never saw where they told the family that she was, you know, it's like they came to that, they learned that, and they got her some help, so it looked like she was placed with the right family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. But, you know, the thing about it is, if the mother was dead and the father was the one who they would have gotten to get that information from, because the children were young, who would be the one
very
to tell
young.
The parents? So there was nobody to tell what was going on. That's why nobody told them, because nobody knew. So, you know, the way they said, well, you know, we weren't told, it kind of makes it sound like that information was intentionally withheld. But unless there was someone who was, you know, the only person who really would have been able to do that would be the dad. And he, you know, was wherever he was for whatever reason. And so, you know, that part was never clear what happened to him. But
mm-hmm.
the kid, you know, being put up for adoption makes it seem like it was something pretty, you know, permanent. Like maybe mm-hmm. he died too, or went to prison for life, or, I mean, if something happened where the children were going to be up for adoption, and they didn't have any family, evidently. And so that was their only option. So I didn't really see it as an intentional misleading of the parents. I'm seeing it as one of those things where some stuff fell through the hole. and the children were able, you know, the little girl was able to communicate it by her behavior.
Right.
I wasn't indicating misleading. I was just indicating the fact that they adopted this child, and this child is clearly mentally unbalanced or whatever the case was, and that was not disclosed. They didn't. That's one of the ways that some of them back out of quote unquote the agreements. Well, you know, when certain things are just not, and that's the only thing that I'm talking about, but they didn't even attempt to do that. They got this child help. That can sometimes those things can be, whether it's a financial burden, the hardship of whatever, and Lord knows what could have happened to that little boy. You know, because basically she traumatized him.
Yes.
You know, I was like, wow, that was interesting.
And see, her doing all that, those hurtful things, was her releasing the pain that she was going through, especially when she was handling her brother's private parts like that. That was her getting back at her father, you know, pinching it and pulling on it and sticking pins in it. You know, that was that anger coming out. And, you know, she just thrust it on her brother. Then she had his banging his head in the concrete floor. And she knew what she was doing. She said, I wanted to kill. She just wanted to kill everybody, you know. And when her mother, the mother asked, she said, where are those knives at? She said, you mean the ones, the silver ones, like this? I don't know. But then she said, she told the psychologist that she had the knives, and he asked her, why did you have those knives? What did you want to do with them? I wanted to kill John, my mom, and my dad. Just as calm, you know, just like that was what you're supposed to do with knives. You're supposed to kill your baby brother, your mother, and your father, you know. And I think that, oh, my God, if her father is or was alive doing that, or if he got caught and is in jail, that's where he, I hope he's still in jail. I hope he rots in jail. Because if that little girl had not gotten the help that she got, when she got it, at the age that she got it, like she could have grown up and been a serial killer or whatever, you know. But Rhea, since you didn't see the end of it, she had gotten, they sent her to some like, I think it was like a little camp, was it?
Okay.
Yeah,
was it Deborah camp like something? And then they showed her, you know, help. She was helping to feed the animals, and she was singing in the church. She had a nice little cute voice, and you know, getting more involved, and you know, so that made her more conscious, and you know, wanting to be loved and wanting to give love. And I think the last thing he asked her was, why did she? What was the last thing he asked her? Why did she want to hurt? I think he asked her, why did she want to hurt her little brother? Why did she want to hurt people? And she said, because her birth dad had hurt her, and she had it all inside, and she remembered it. And when she hurt other people, she was hurting her dead self, is what she said. So, you know, for this child to have things like that on her mind, then she would have dreams that her father was falling on top of her and hurting her, you know, causing her vagina to bleed. And, you know, it, like I said, it's very chilling to see a six-year-old going through that. And just imagine a child, a 10-month-old baby or a one-year-old child or a child who can't talk going through that.
Yeah.
You know, because there was an article on the internet where this guy, I think his daughter was still an infant. Why did they find a condom down her throat? Where he was trying, well, obviously he had his penis in the condom, but it must have been, penis must not have been that big. The condom came off and the baby suffocated to death.
Oh, my God.
You know, I can't understand. Then why they let these rapists go? these child molesters go, and then they say they have in society and they have to have a sign on their door, you live next door to a child molester. No, don't let me live next door to a child molester. Let that child molester live in jail until he expires. Because when they come out, they do the same thing. Instead of
well,
them,
let me just say this. Knowing that the person lives next door to you, actually that's a help because they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Every woman with children should assume that the men in her life are all around her are child molesters and react accordingly. That's the only way that we're going to be able to protect our children. This stuff here is going on worldwide. There are underground networks of pedophiles that share information about children. If you ever see anyone trying to take a picture of your child, jack them up and take the camera. I don't care if you have to go to court and rebuy them another one. The bottom line is you don't want them to have a picture of your child. You know why? They put them on bulletin boards, and then the next thing you know, your child is missing. Your child is molested. So these guys are sick. They put in orders for the type of child that they want. And these guys go out and look for them, and they take pictures of the kids to send to these pedophiles to see if this is okay. Then they're going to figure out how to get your kid. They go to countries where their children or families are poor, and they use that against the people by giving them money and food and everything and, you know, tricking the kids into prostitution. That's basically what it is. And this is going on all over the world, not just here. So this is the kind of thing where, you know, women really have to wake up. And, I mean, I've had this discussion on Facebook with some women, and for some reason they don't want to hear it. They're like, well, you know, I can't think that, you know, every man in my life is going to be a molester. You damn better. Because that's going to be the only way you're going to protect your child. I mean, it's like, yeah, you know, you can still be friendly with them and all that stuff, but don't ever trust a man with your child. Don't ever leave your little girl alone with your boyfriend. Don't leave your kids with these men like that. I don't care how much you love him. I don't care. Once the damage is done, it's done. It's irreversible. And your child is on the path to the little girl in the documentary.
Beth. Mm-hmm. Beth, yeah. Yeah, and you know, a lot of these parents are leaving their little girls and little boys, because they're not exempt as well, but they're leaving their little girls with these boyfriends, quote unquote, and come home and the baby's dead or raped, you know. And I just have a phobia when I really hate to see little girls sitting in men's laps. You know, I just have a phobia about that. But, you know, not to say that, you know, some of the men who are little girls who are sitting in their lap, there's nothing wrong with it. But I just have a phobia because I know of a few incidents with this guy who he is a pedophile. He's just nasty, period. And some kids was left in his care, and the things that was going through my head, I said, oh, my God, I just hope that he don't do nothing to those kids. But, you know, just the thought of it makes me sick. And then the other sick part of it about it is the people whose children were left in his care knows his record. They know that he's done something to other children, you know, but still, what makes them think that he wouldn't do that to their children? You know, you have to open your eyes, and just because somebody did something to somebody else's child and you hear about it, first thing you come, well, he wouldn't do that to my kids.
Yeah. Women even say that about their own father that molested them when they were growing up. So now they're adult and they have a child, and so they know what their father's all about. He molested them. He molested other kids in the family, and you know this, and yet you're going to be so stupid you leave your daughter or your little boy over there with the same man who molested you for years, and you think he's magically stopped and he won't do it to your child. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? But see, remember what I was saying? That compulsion to repeat, that is a very, there's a term for it, which I can't remember right now, but it involves the word compulsion. I remember that. But it's this thing where they just can't let stuff go, and they're just going to repeat that cycle over and over and over again. It's very, very upsetting.
Yes, it is. So these women who are leaving there, and then you even have, now, let's get on this this little subject real quick. You even have the boyfriend and the mother molesting molesting her own child and letting her boyfriend molest the child at the same time. So, you know, it's really a sick thing that these people do to their own children, how they abuse sexually, and for what? I mean, I couldn't imagine putting my hands on my grandson, my little great-grandson, or my granddaughters inappropriately. I couldn't even imagine that.
But yeah, I can't either.
Mm-hmm, but a woman will, because I think it was this, I forgot where it happened at, but this woman, she was a crackhead. And she and this guy took turns having sex with her granddaughter. Her granddaughter, I think, was 10 years old, in order for her to get the crack from the guy. And all the dumb things that they do to get what they want is terrible. Why couldn't you just have sex with the man? Why do you involve your 10-year-old granddaughter, you know, scarring her like that? Yeah, it's sick. It's really sick, and I can't, like I said, I couldn't grasp doing anything like that to any child. My own children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchild, I could never, those thoughts, like things like that don't even cross my mind.
But you know, you got to be careful. I remember before my husband died, I mean, our daughter was, I don't know, she was still in diapers, so she was, you know, two or under. And this guy that he knew from college came by our house, right? You know, so I'm, you know, playing hostess, and, you know, I'm like, okay. I mean, he seemed happy to see the guy and everything. And so, you know, the guy, you know, my daughter was there. She's, you know, toddling around. And so my husband went into the kitchen with me. You know, he left her walking around in there. And then he came in the kitchen with me to carry out the trays of sandwiches and drinks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he came out, and I heard that crash to the floor, and he dropped that stuff, and he was like, "Mother, you know, well, you know, MF, get the blanket thing out of my house, this and that, and blah, blah, blah." And anyway, you know, he's like punching the dude and everything, getting him out the house. I had to pull him off the man because, you know, I didn't want him to catch a case. You know what I mean? I'm trying to figure out what the heck happened. I was gone 5 minutes to make some sandwiches and pour some iced tea. I mean, what happened? So he tells me that when he came back around the corner with the drinks and stuff and the tray of drinks and sandwiches, that the guy had our daughter on his lap, like straddling him, and was bouncing up and down, and he had a boner.
Oh, Lord. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
If I hadn't have been there, I know he would have been in jail to this day, because he was trying to beat the tar off that man.
See, that's why I just had this phobia about little girls sitting in men's laps. I really do.
Yeah, it was just crazy. So after that, you know, he's like, "I don't want her sitting. Don't let no MF sit in. Nah, that." He's just going crazy. But you know, it was.
Well, you couldn't blame him, because that was an example of it right there.
I know, he was so devastated because he trusted, you know, this was like his frat brother. He had been in college with this guy and grad school with this guy and thought he knew him. You see what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. These women say, you know, they started dating this guy 6 months ago, 3 months ago, and you think they think, oh, you know, I trust him. I know him. He ain't like that. It's like, Cal, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about this man. You haven't even done a criminal background check to see if he's been arrested for anything, like, you know, perverted or abusive. You don't know nothing about this. You don't even know if that's his real name, you know. Yep. And then you're up there leaving your kids with them. I don't understand it. It just drives me nuts.
See, and I probably would have caught a case.
Well, see, by the time I found out about it, you know, the guy was already gone, you know what I mean? And he was huffing and puffing and, like, all looking crazy. And so, I'm trying to, like, calm him down so I could get this, you know, what happened in the 5 minutes that I was in the kitchen.
And see how quick he acted? See how quick that guy acted with your child? It don't take but a second, 1 second. And people, when you turn your back, turn back around, something has happened.
Yep.
You know, you need to keep your eyes on your prize, and your children are your most precious possessions.
And, you know, party family events is a deadly thing. Like, a lot of people are going to be having, you know, big family gatherings tomorrow. It's going to be tons of kids running around all over the place. People are like, going to be watching their children like a hawk. You need to. A, it's going to be all kind of people in your family as well as other people's families at the parks and at the beach and all these places. You need to keep an eye on your children because, you know, they're going to go to the bathroom or something. You better go with them. And this is the kind of thing, you know, so many parents, they just get lax. And then bad things happen, and they be all upset. But it's like, you know, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Your job is to protect that child at 24/7. That's your job until they're old enough to do it themselves. That's all you do. And so it's, you know, how hard is it for you to put your drink down, take your kid by the hand, or take a group of kids to the bathroom if you need to. But, you know, two or three parents escort a group of 10 little kids to the bathroom. You all bring them back. And then you tell them, you play right here where we can see you. Don't go running in no bushes and going down the thing, down the field where we don't know where you are. You stay right here. And stuff like that, you know, got to be watchful.
Yeah, because it takes only a second. It takes a second. Just what happened to John Walsh's son. She they in the field, and she turned their back for a few minutes. Next thing you know, her son was gone. You know, you don't need to be letting your children get in the store and run wild and, you know, get out of your sight, because just imagine you leaving that store without your child. And then you'd be saying, I should, I could, I would, I. You know, but, yeah, that's just cold-blooded what had happened to Beth. And, you know, she's in her late 20s now, I think, because that happened in 1984 when she was 19 months old, when 1984, she was 19 months old. But, you know, just a warning to you parents out there that have little babies, you know, treat them like they're gold. Don't take your eyes off of them. Don't leave them with your boyfriends. Keep an eye on them, even when they're with their fathers. Because some of these fathers, they're not fathers. They're animals.
Yep. And, you know, women have to really understand. I wrote an article on my blog called They Kill for Revenge. And in it, I was out there trying to get women to understand. A lot of times when men do damage to your children, when it's the father, you know, your boyfriend or whatever, and they do something to your child, it's to hurt you. And they know that it's going to hurt you because you tried to leave them, you divorced them, you know, rejected them in some way. They want to cause you the pain that you caused them, and they use your child to do it. And so I, you know, really caution women, you just can't be too careful. You can't be having babies by everybody, number one. And then number two, you know, even if it was your husband, you get a divorce and whatever, keep in mind he's going to be enraged that you had the gall to leave him. And you got to be real careful with, you know, those situations and your children. Because the guys, they not only molest the kids, you know, they kill them.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And, you know, that's just something that, you know, you women have to be very careful when you're going to, and especially those messed up, crazy divorces where she gets custody of the kids, and he wants custody, and he don't want her to have the house and all that crazy stuff. So he comes, burns the house down with the kids in it, knowing that she's just going to lose it, you know. And that's how some men are. They are so bitter and just so torn up until they want to see you hurting. They want to see you in pain. So they say, oh, okay, well, I know what hurts her. Them kids, I'm killing them. You know, but you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail because you don't want her to leave you. Now what, you ain't got no kids, no wife, no nothing. You got to get up when somebody tells you to get up, go to bed when somebody tells you to go to bed, and you will never, ever, ever see the streets again. Just walk away. Just walk away.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes. So the next thing we're going to talk about is rape. Debbie, you want to start us off on that topic as well?
Well, let's let one of the other ladies, you know, talk since I've been running my mouth so much.
Okay, Rhea or Danny, you either one want to start off that topic? We're going to discuss rape now.
I mean, I can do so in a generic form, but I don't have, you know, any insight outside of, you know, what I've seen on TV or read about in regard to it.
You don't know anybody that was told you that they were raped?
No. One of my blessings in life, I haven't ran into one yet.
Okay. Well, Danny, do you have anything you could start it off with?
I've been here before. I was raped and touched when I was 5, so I know a little bit about that situation. A little bit.
You said when you were 5?
Yeah, when I was 5.
Was this
5? It wasn't a family member. It was some, I guess, one of my mom's friends, drinking friends or something.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had went drinking with the neighbors, and she does this thing where she leaves the basement door open. And I guess the guy come in there, and I can, you know, remember him being butt naked and standing on top of me, dark skinned. I can remember, like, the facial features, but I don't know, like, pinpoint who he was, but I can remember him penetrating me and stuff like that, just being, you know, butt naked and stuff. I mean, that, it was a crazy feeling and a crazy situation that I went through at 5.
I'm hearing, does somebody have a speaker on their phone? I'm getting an echo. Okay. Wow. But anyway, when I was 15, I was raped.
And
no, I'm not going to get into that story yet. I want to first talk about this woman who had tried rape and really wasn't raped, according to the news reports and all this and that. Have you ladies heard of the Duke LaCrosse rape?
Yeah,
okay. Try this other phone. The young lady was supposed, allegedly, her and another stripper had went to this frat house, and they, you know, stripped for these guys, danced for these guys, and they were not pleased with it. So they called them all kind of racial names, because these were 3 white guys that was involved. And one of the girls, I think her name was Vicky or Victoria Magnum, she had, you know, told this girl that, you know, that she was upset about it. So this is the story that I got. Now, I don't know if it was true or not, but the girl said that she told her when they was leaving to put some marks on her, and she was going to cry rape. They got the DNA test, and they said none of the guys test, their DNA wasn't found on her. But 9 months later, this girl gave birth to a baby. And her cousin was saying something that they said, well, was it possible it was one of the guys who allegedly raped her? So she said she didn't know anything like that. But from when they had it on the ID channel, she had, things get so mixed up with the media. They had it that she allegedly got raped. Well, what it had on television was she had consensual sex with one of the guys, and the other guys just chimed in. So when that happened, something that happened in between that, though, but I'm trying to get this whole story that I had saw on ID. But anyway, they got off with it, and they said that she lied about it, this and that. But I know that she had on Aidisha got married to this guy, and he went his way, she went her way. Then she had these two other relationships that she got in. She always got into these abusive relationships somehow. Then she had wrote a book about what had happened to her, and, you know, everybody had trashed the book saying it was lies and this and that. And then she got into this last relationship with this guy, and she killed him. And it was, she said it was in self-defense. Now, my thing is this. If she wasn't raped, for her to go to those extremes, you know, and cry rape, I think that she needs to be punished in some way, shape, or form, because doing something like that is not good. Because when a woman gets raped, she's already going to be cut up, cut to shreds, and already made a victim twice when she goes to court. She's already going to be torn up. They're going through the hurt and the pain and all this and that. And then for somebody to lie about somebody raping them, I think they should be punished for that. I really
well,
do.
Well, I would agree with you, except for the fact that when women do, and it is true, the guys don't get, they get probation if they even
right.
get any charges at all. So my thing is, you know, it's a wash because in actuality, the number of false rape reports is less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, 99% of them are true, but the prosecution rate is very, very low. There's untested rape kits in every police station across the country. It's a
mm-hmm.
low priority crime as far as male police officers and judges and, you know, attorneys are concerned. So, you know, it's not a good look. I agree with that. However, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think those women should be picked out and made any more an example than the men are to actually rape people. They get off easy with a slap on the hand. So why should a woman get charged and get the book thrown at her for lying?
But you know what? As far as like, and you're right, men, they do get the slap on the hand. Some of them do, some of them don't. My thing is when a man rapes a woman, sometimes they do the mental castration. But if a man rapes a woman, they need to cut his penis off. You know, do the physical. Because number one, 9 times out of 10, when he gets out of serving his little 5 or 6 months, he's going to rape somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think that a person who rapes a woman should ever be let out of jail because, number one, those scars are going to be there forever. And to see that person walking around or to have that person near you after you go through what you go through is the worst feeling that you could ever have. And I'm going to talk about another story before I get into my own story, the Steubenville rape trial, Steubenville rape trial. That was about a 16-year-old girl who these guys, I think it was two of them, a white guy and a black guy,
mm-hmm.
took her from party to party. She was drunk, so drunk till she didn't even know what was going on. They filmed it, put it on the social media stations, and, you know, one guy said, well, they was laughing and joking, talking about she too drunk and asking is she dead, and this probably was her final wish, and she might have wanted it, you know, but how can you say that a woman wishes to be raped?
No, and, you know, I was looking at those pictures of that girl. She was not drunk. She was drugged. There was no way in this world that somebody would be that, because you, when you get drunk, you throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is trying to get rid of the toxin. You throw up and you have diarrhea. She didn't have
mm-hmm.
any of that. That was drugs. That was
straight
drugs.
Well, see, that's
drugs.
The media for you. They're saying that she was drunk. But, you know, I can believe that she probably was drugged, because anytime, now they had her taking her from party to party. And then one guy said, let me go and check and see if she's still living.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. That's a sign that you know something is up besides just a few drinks. But see, by taking her from party to party, they give time for the Rohypnol to be eliminated from her body. It's got a short duration. If you don't make it to the hospital for a blood test in time, the evidence is eliminated. And so that's why they want to keep you. You know, they don't want her to go home or anywhere where somebody could take her for medical treatment, because then it would be proven that she was drugged. So the only way to do that is to keep her for the requisite number of hours until the drug wears off. They little nasty fools.
Yeah, and they got off with it. They were charged as juveniles. But what they did was not juvenile. Because anytime you do something like that, that's not juvenile. And see, that's another thing. They need to hold these little 16, 17-year-old boys who are raping these girls, they need to hold them accountable like adults. Lock them up, castrate them, and throw the key away. Because, I mean, they made a mockery of that little girl. Just laughing. I mean, you know, this is how we party. We get a girl and we drug her and we rape her and that's fun, and we drag her here, drag her there, and let me go check on her and see if she's still living. You know, she wanted it. No, how could she want anything when she's practically unconscious?
Yeah, I don't know about those. Those little boys are scary.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Then they had these guys was holding up these signs talking about the things that cause rape. Number one, drinking. Number two, flirting. Number three, clothing. And number four, rapists. Those are things that cause rape. Now.
Number one, rapist. Number two, rapist. Number three, rapist. Number four, rapist.
Yeah. Yeah, but they say drinking, flirting, clothing, and raping. If a woman was naked walking down the street, does not cause anybody. You're not supposed. I mean, what gives you the right to put your hands on her? So if you see a woman walking down the street, it's okay to rape her. A woman who's drinking, it's okay to rape her. I guess it is after you put something in her drink. And then flirting, I mean, you know, what's wrong with saying hello to somebody? So I'm saying hello to you. You're hearing rape me? Or my clothes are telling you to rape me? You know, come on. They need to, I mean, this is so sad that, you know, their mindset is like that. You know, all these things are funny to them. These are games, and these are things that they dig doing because they're 16 or 17 years old. Now, what happens when you come home and somebody broke in your house and raped your mother or your sister? You know, you have to think about things like that. I remember this happened some years ago. These guys had raped this lady, sodomized her, did everything to her. When they turned the lady over, one of the guys who was raping her was her son. Yep.
Goodness gracious.
Yep. Sure was. So, you know, you just have to, you know, be, I mean, it's the time for everything. If you are in a relationship and you're being sexually active with your girlfriend, you know, do that. Don't go out here raping somebody. You got these men who have wives and girlfriends, and they're running around raping everybody in the neighborhood.
Well, that's because, you know, people often mistake rape as a sign of horniness. You know, but that's not it at all. Rape is about domination, power,
and power
over.
Yeah,
and you know, forcing someone to do what you wanted them to do, so these guys get an enormous ego boost and feel powerful and omnipotent and all kinds of other fabulous things because they are, you know, controlling this woman through threats and fear, and you know, it's really sad that you have these people that are that powerless that that's the only way that they can think of to feel like men. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that, you know, it's a shame because I was watching ID Now. That's my channel right there. But this guy, he was married too, and he looked, you know, you don't know what a rapist, they look normal or whatever. And he had a wife. I think his wife was pregnant, by the way. But he was raping everybody in the neighborhood, and one girl, he tussled with her, and he killed her. So then he started killing his victims. And he would go home just as nice to his wife. And when they got whiff of him, they knocked on the door and, you know, was talking to the wife, and they was asking him a few questions. And he's shaking his head like, no, I've been here. So she's saying, yeah, he was here. But kind of find out later on down the line, she turned him in because he told her that particular night when the last victim that he killed, she came home and she noticed that he was winded and sweating and all this kind of stuff. And she asked him, you know, what was going on. So he told her, and I think she became fearful of him, and she turned him in. But I'm not going to, if my husband or my boyfriend came home and told me, yeah, Delicious, I just raped so-and-so, and the police come here looking for me, you tell them I was here all night. Negro, as soon as I got the opportunity, you're going to be turned in. You are going to be turned in. You know, but you have these women that protect these men, and they'll say something like, well, he was here with me all night. He didn't do anything. And he's telling you, I just killed so-and-so, and I killed this one. But I think these women get off when these men get off by them telling them these things. And some of them, even after they do all these weird things, they make love to them. Yeah, it was a couple on there, this young couple. They was crazy as I don't know what. This guy, he wanted to have sex with her sister. They drugged her. She had sex with her, and he had sex with her, and they killed her. And they was going around. He had her helping him to pick up girls off the street, and they would take them back to their place, and they would film all this while she's molesting the girl. Then he'll rape them. Then they both do it, and also kind of the whole time they recording all this stuff. And I think he must have killed maybe about 4, 5, 6 women or whatever. But when he got busted, she turned state's evidence on him and tried to say that he was forcing her to do this. But when they saw those tapes, oh no, sister girl, you was in on it too. But she got less time than he did because she did turn state's evidence. And she went to jail for a minute and got out and got remarried and relocated, had a start in a new family and all that kind of stuff. No, you're still supposed to be locked up. Killing your sister and raping your sister, assisting your husband on killing and raping women and filming it.
Some women, you know, and I'm not saying this as an excuse, but some of these women are so, like, caught up in, you know, their need to have a man and to, you know, be what he wants them to be. It's just the most amazing thing.
Well, yeah, there are women like that, no doubt. They rather, you know, have a man than to be alone. But I'd rather be alone than to have a man, than to have something that portrays a man. Because if you're not going to be a real man with me, I don't need you.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. But you got these women that are so, well, I just don't want to be by myself. I don't want to die by myself. I don't want to sleep in my bed by myself. And I need a man, and I don't care if he's somebody else's husband. At least he give me some and this and that. No, fool. What you're doing is you're just low-rating yourself, making yourself less than the woman that you are supposed to be on the sake of having a thing because he's not a man. You know, and it's just so sad when women be in marriages and relationships and their boyfriends or their husbands are raping them. And see, being in a marriage, a woman will say something like, well, it's my duty, and he just did what, you know, he's supposed to do. No, your husband, when you tell your husband no, it means no. And if he forces you, pull a Lorena Bobbitt on him. Y'all know who Lorena Bobbitt was, I'm sure.
But you know, the thing about it, Gail, a lot of women don't know, especially young ones, they don't know the behaviors that constitute rape. First of all, they don't understand that. And so I wanted to read this to you because as of last January, the Department of Justice changed the formal federal legal definition of rape. And it was a very important change because it was able to include males for the first time, and it was able to include things inserted in a woman besides a penis. See, that was always the catch point. So, well, it wasn't rape. You know, he didn't do anything, or he only did it. So this is the new definition. Rape is now defined as the penetration, no matter how slight, of the vagina or anus with any body part or object, or, and this is the important part, oral penetration by a sex organ of another person without the consent of the victim. So now it includes oral rape, anal rape, anything you stick in somebody, anything. I don't care if you put like a quarter of an inch or something in someone and they told you not to, you've technically raped them. And it was a very, very important legal decision.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because even, you know, women, like I know you heard about the young lady that was raped in India on the bus and how they stuck all kind of objects in her. I think they killed her boyfriend or somebody. They stuck all kind of objects in her and, you know, raping her. And she died from those injuries, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just... they need to have things like that. Now what they need to put on the books is the time should change because if somebody rapes somebody, they should start off anywhere from 30 years and up. Because number one, the victim is always going to have those scars. The victim is always going to go through changes mentally, sometimes physically, depending on how severe it was and how they was handled, you know. But some of these rapists, they get off too easily, 6 months, and then probation and community service. For what?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, that's why they continuously do it. But let them come in my courtroom. I got something for them. Because you know what? First of all, I would have them physically castrated, no anesthesia.
Dang, you harsh.
Yeah, because I saw this on YouTube, and this guy evidently had raped somebody over in them foreign countries. You know how they cut your hands off if you steal something and all that crazy stuff? They put his penis, and all these women and stuff were standing around watching. They put his penis on a rock, and this man had a sword and cut his penis off. Yes, he did. And that's exactly what would happen to any rapist that came to my house. Oh, you want to rape somebody? Okay, you're getting castrated tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Then you're going to go to the underground jail. You will be fed bread and water till the day you perish. That's it and that's all. They need to make a sample out of somebody. You know, I was going to cut their tongues out and their hands off, too, but that's a little harsh. Mm. But but you know,
maybe not.
Yeah, it pisses me off how they do what they do, and then they get away with it. Just like these little boys, they charge it as juveniles. And that girl, she says she can't remember anything until she saw the videotapes. They passing this around on social medias, and they said it was a 12-minute tape of the, you know, the different things they was doing. And some, they even said they urinated on her. You know, so it's just,
See, that's designed. See, that's some sick stuff. They're designed. That was designed to humiliate her, and that shows a kind of a rage that is worldwide. Men have against women. It's like they feel entitled to women's bodies, women's time, women's energy, you know, sex, whatever. They feel entitled to that because they want it. And when women tell them no, that is the end result. They're going to take it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I'm going to get into the story of my rape, then we're going to get into the kinky sex. When I was 15, I was raped by a stranger, and it was the most horrible night of my life. I mean, this guy, I'm not going to, you know, go through the whole thing because it's like a long story, but when he raped me, I felt like, I just felt like something, it was just terrible. But I told immediately, you know, like some women, they don't tell because they're afraid or they're scared or they just don't tell from being ashamed or embarrassed. But I told because he did not have the right to do what he did to me. And he got the Youth Act. When he happened, he was 17, so he went to jail until he was 21. As far as I'm concerned, he should still be locked up because, like I said, I'm not going to get into the whole story because we don't have that much more time, but the girl who had testified in my case, they're in a relationship to this day, but it didn't happen from back then. They've been in a relationship for maybe about the last 16 or 17 years. And he raped her, sodomized her, beat her up, do all kind of things to her. And I asked her, I said, when she first told me that they was in a relationship, I said, and you trust him? She said, well, he said that was something he did when he was young and this and that. He was 17, and he knew what he was doing. He knew he was wrong because he tried to lie his way out of it. You know, but
wow,
I'm saying all that to say women, just like, you know, women who want to have a man, quote, unquote, will be with anything. Because I said, well, let me say this, a leopard's spots never change. And when she called me and told me that he was raping her, doing all kind of crazy things to her, she should have known that. I tried to tell her, but no. And they're still together. Still together.
Wow.
Yeah. We have a caller. I'm bringing this caller in. Caller 314-381. What's your question or comment?
I got a question along the lines of rape.
Mm-hmm.
And no one... That's very hardly ever spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
And I may mention it in the chat room, but what happens when, what's your feelings on the punishment that should be dealt out in a case when a female is lying? Like the recent case with the football player that was in high school.
The lacrosse.
No,
race.
He's talking about that thing that happened in L.A. I have an opinion.
Oh, well, come on, because I don't know about the one in L.A.
Yeah, they were both high school students, and my opinion is this. She was a kid, he was a kid. Had he done what he was supposed to be doing, none of that would have happened. He had a girlfriend. He was on his way to the principal's office to talk with the dean about his college scholarship, but what he did was dip down a staircase to get some from this hoochie, right? So then I'm not sure what, you know, what transpired between the two of them. That's been kind of hush-hush. Neither one of them is giving too much detail there.
I think this is a different case you're talking
about.
Nope,
it's the same one. And it's the one where the dude went to, and he's gotten a chance. He went to get the chance to play football when he got out.
Right. Well, the thing is that
I'm not done. I'm not done. Now, when you go to court, if you honestly did not do something, your butt is supposed to plead not guilty. When you plead not guilty, they have to prove your guilt. Otherwise, you're considered innocent. What he did was stupid. He took a plea. When you take a plea, that all investigation into the case stops. He said that he put himself in jail by being dumb.
But did he have a lawyer?
Yeah, he had a lawyer. Everybody has to have a lawyer.
Well, his lawyer, you know,
but see, you still
his lawyer didn't handle
decision.
His case. He was a child.
You still make the final decision. But see, that's between him and his parents. This
well,
is not
what happened
right
in the
to
end?
Blame
did not
her
the...
for his decision to take the plea. That was his choice.
Yeah, what
That's
happened
what
in the end? Did not did she have the wasn't she required to pay back the money?
Yeah, but she got a judgment, but good luck collecting it.
Well, that's going to stick. That'll stick with her for the rest of her life, even into her retirement.
But
she's
not retired. She's not even working. She's on welfare.
Well, if she ever do come into something, they would get it. But I had a couple more questions, too. How about the case where the girl, the 18-year-old girl, raped the 14-year-old girl, and rather than sending her to jail like it would go if she was a male, the prosecutor wanted to cop a plea deal?
Well, first
What's
of all,
your opinion on that?
We have dozens of cases that I can pull up right now to show you where men, even adult men, rape women and children, and they don't spend a day in jail.
Yeah, but I was asking the question on the one with the girl, the
I
woman
know,
raping
what
the girl.
Is,
What's your opinion
what
on that?
My opinion is if you're going to let men off, then you got to let a woman
Ma'am,
off.
Ma'am, good night.
Bye. He calls my
well,
show, so I'm you know him.
Oh, okay. But there was even cases over in Africa where these women were allegedly raping men for their semen. You know, so it's not always about, well, you know, rarely do you hear of a woman raping a man, but, you know, it's that's what was, I saw that on some news feed, I saw that on it. Then I was hearing that a while back, too, that they was doing that. But you got
the
women
that... And
then
what would they be doing with it? What would they be doing with it? I said, and what would they be doing with
Oh, don't ask me, darling, but I ain't going to be raping nobody for no sperm.
That's
crazy.
Why I don't believe it. That's why I don't believe it. In the Congo, they're raping women and baby girls and five-year-olds and infants and everything else. And so, see, when stories like that get out, there's no proof. Where's the proof? It's just a rumor until I see some definitive proof that, you know, this is exactly what happened. The women there are running from those men. They're not trying to hold them down and take their sperm. What are they going to do with it? They already got kids they can't afford. You know what I mean? What's the point of that? That sounds stupid. That doesn't even make any sense when you consider what's going on in Africa. I just that,
right,
because
they
illogical.
Are over there raping those. The men who, now I heard this as well, that the men were raping newborn babies, with the men who had AIDS was having sex with newborn babies, thinking that, well, it's supposed to be that would cure them of the AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that a while back, how this one baby, they had had to do reconstructive surgery on the baby's, vagina. But it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But, you know, like I said, and I was molested as well when I was 16 by a doctor. And I know you're probably thinking, well, how in the world did a doctor molest a 16? Well, back in the day, because I'm quite well-seasoned here, you could, when they didn't have the assistants that went in back with the doctors, and most doctors had their offices, you know, they would be in, the, you know, there alone. And at this particular time, I was having problems with my stomach. I don't know what was going on, but I went to see this doctor. And the way he was touching me, I didn't know that it was wrong until some years later when I was 19 and I got pregnant, and I went to a different doctor, GYN, and he was examining me, and I'm saying, wait a minute, why isn't he doing what the other doctor did? Because the other doctor was rubbing my clitoris, inserting his fingers, rubbing my nipples, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that because that's my first time ever going to a doctor, you know, like that, and by myself. But, you know, like when I found that out, I said, oh, my goodness. Because these doctors as well, doctors, dentists, lawyers, judges, they're doing things to women. There was another lady on the internet who this policeman, no, not a policeman, a court guard had molested, had sexually touched her. And the judge She was telling the judge what had happened. The judge turned her back and was playing with the woman's daughter in the courtroom. The lady was there for another something else, but they was telling her to sit down and all this old kind of stuff. And she's telling, he touched me, though. He did this and told her to pull her blouse up. And, you know, men are just, I mean, those males are just good for nothing. Good for nothing. And I remember one time when I used to work for the government, one of the supervisors had, he didn't really, he was sort of like getting real close to me, right, and, you know, touching my arms and rubbing all of my arms and stuff like that and telling me that if you do this for me, I'll let you have this time off and all this other kind of stuff. And I told his supervisor about it. You know what his supervisor said? He said, I don't believe that. So I said, he said, because he's a good worker, this, that, all this and that. I said, but he's a man first. Whether he's a good worker, I said, he did put his hands on me. So he didn't believe me, but a couple of weeks later, when we was at work, his supervisor came in, so he said, well, I have some sad news to, you know, tell you guys. He said, Mr. Brown was killed in a car accident. I said, well, whatever.
Yay!
What goes around comes around. Karma is a B-I-T-C-H, but, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, and I know that a person, a man, is not going to never say, well, yeah, I raped her. Yeah, I did this to her. I did that to that. You know, a man is not going to say that. A male who did those things, he's not going to never admit it. You know, but my thing is, karma is a B-I-T-C-H. It will come back on you. Because it sure came back on Mr. Brown, trying to lie. I didn't put my hands on her. She's lying. Whatever. So we're going to get into the kinky sex, how that can be abusive, even though, you know, some people have kinky sex and it's, you know, good for them or whatever. But it gets abusive when someone is choking you. That's autoerotic asphyxiation. And someone's choking because they say when you're choked that you get an ultimate, the orgasm is so intense or whatever. But that's dangerous as well because that's what happened to David Carradine. He tried to, he was trying to do it to himself. And you do have those ones that try to do it to themselves while they're masturbating or whatever, and you see what happened. And then I think also it was an article on Facebook where this young lady said that she was married to a white man. And she said, I really love him. The sex is so good and this and that. And sometimes when we're having sex, he likes to pull my hair and smack my butt and call me nigger. No, 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 no.
No, you got to die. I'm sorry.
No, ain't that sex ain't that good. But you know what she said? But I love him, and I don't really see anything wrong with it because he just calls me that in the bedroom. No, he calls you that outside of the bedroom because you accepted that. But, you know, kinky, rape, and incest, they all can be abusive. You know, especially incest and rape, that's definitely abusive sex. But kinky sex sometimes can get out of hand. You know, if you're telling somebody, okay, well, you can choke me a little bit. And sometimes, you know, when you're in that moment, you actually go to a whole different realm. And you could be choking somebody and it's feeling so good to you until you just choke this person out. You know, so you have to be careful with that. It was another star who had went through that. Then this lady that was on television the other day, she was saying her boyfriend, that's what he likes to do. So she said, but I keep telling you I don't like that. You know what he said? Well, if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. I'll get somebody else to do it too. This was her boyfriend saying this. If my boyfriend, first of all, it's a privilege, it should be a privilege that I even let you put your hands on my neck at a time like that. Then you're going to say something like that to me? Okay, well, you go find somebody else.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But see, it becomes to the point where a person will abuse you, and you can even lose your life behind it. So you
That's
better be careful when.
I can't forget the name. The one from Kung Fu.
David Carradine.
Kerrigan?
Yeah, David Carradine. Yeah.
Yup, that's how he died.
Yeah, I know. He was. They found him a thing around his neck in the closet, masturbating, and he didn't never finish or whatever. But you know, it's you have to be very careful when you're involved in kinky sex, even when you are hitting somebody or pulling somebody's hair. You know, and then calling them all kind of, especially you ain't going to call me no, you're not going to call me a bitch. You're not going to call me a whore and a slut.
People talk about that and they get off on that. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that I've never participated in things along those lines is because I just don't understand, and I'm not going to say I don't understand it. When you're having an orgasm, you don't always have control. You don't always have, it's almost sometimes like an out-of-body experience. How you gonna come back down? I mean, it's like, no. And then they say you have those safe words. You know, I remember when my ex-husband tried to talk me into participating. They said, well, this is the safe word. You say this word, I'm going to stop. And all I'm thinking to myself is, if I'm in that vulnerable of a position and I can't stop him, and I say that word and he too far gone,
yeah,
anything could happen. Go call me chicken, cause cluck cluck, cause I'm not me. Somebody called me. I remember one time I was at work and they got on certain subjects and I got to walking away, and so one of the my colleague said chicken, and I turned around, looked at him, and said cluck cluck. I don't have them. I'm like, because that's all I can think about is, you know, when you're having an orgasm, sometimes you see stars, it gets dark, you don't always have full control. How the hell are you gonna stop? And I'm
right.
Like, I don't see a clear way out of that, so I'm not getting into it.
Right, a girlfriend of mine told me when you have an orgasm, you're momentarily insane because
I
you
can
just
see
it's
that.
Just it's huh?
I can see that because you lose. Sometimes you see colors, like you know, like these little sparkles. I mean, it's just you don't always have control over, you know, yourself. That's what I mean. Like you, how they sometimes people are trying to control noise. And you can't, and things like, so how are you going to stop? I just don't get it. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because you get to shaking and speaking in tongue. And especially if it's good, good, good. Yeah.
And you can, you just, well, afterwards you're like, okay, am I breathing? I mean, you don't even know. Sometimes, but yeah, you're going to have that kind of control. So that's one of the main reasons that I never participated in things along that line because I didn't see where I saw where it could too easily not be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that same thing, it's similar, but not exactly. It's not the same at all. Just like, I have a different opinion from most people.
Mm-hmm.
Rape is rape. I do. Right. I'm not discounting that, but I do count ownership in the action and what occurred for the actions and deeds as well. You don't get into the middle of an act and then say stop or no and think
yes,
that.
Yes, you can. And you know why? Because you agree to have one kind of sex and they start trying to flip it to something
talking,
else.
No, sweetie. I'm not talking kinky. I'm talking about straight sex. Okay. I had a debate with somebody at work. And I feel it's totally different. If you kissing, I'm talking about straight sex now, period. You kissing and you getting all in and y'all getting all hot and bothered, and then you all decide to have sex. And he enters you, and he pumping, and then all of a sudden you say no. Where's your responsibility at in that?
Because maybe it hurts. Maybe it hurts. Maybe you're not, it's too big.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, you're feeling some cramps or something. I mean, there could be all kind of reasons why you say no. But the bottom line is, if you say no for whatever reason, it could be because the sky is falling. I don't care. You say no, it's my body. If I say you can't be in it anymore, get your butt up and leave me alone. Because I decide what goes on with my body, how long it happens, when and with who, not you. And no man is owed anything. It doesn't matter if you gave him consent 10 minutes ago. I'm saying no now. Get up and leave me alone. It's all kind of reasons why a woman would say no. And it doesn't have to be a game, and it's certainly not that she owes him anything.
I disagree with that, but go ahead. She has a responsibility in that, too. But I didn't even talk about the wrong part, like the too big, the hurting, or anything wrong part. But okay.
But I mean, that's a valid reason for her to say no. That's what I mean.
No,
so, you know, whatever.
Right. No.
But I mean, why she says no is irrelevant. The fact is, she said no. I mean, it could just be because she changed her mind and she's like, maybe I don't want to have sex with him yet. It's too soon. What am I doing? I let myself get carried away. Or I don't even really like this guy. What is this? This is the alcohol talking. Let me get my butt up and, you know, leave this fool alone. There could be all kind of reasons why she changed her mind. But, you know, and sometimes what happens is there is no decision to have sex. Things just kind of move forward and the guy assumes she's enjoying the, you know, the prelude, the what they call it, the petting. Or whatever the phrase is. That doesn't mean she wants to go all the way. She's enjoying, you know, this part. And then the guy's trying to push to the next level. And a lot of women will give in because they feel like, just like what you said, like she owes him. I'm like, I will tap your ass with my stun gun. You better get the hell up. That's it.
Stun gun.
You know what I mean? You got 3 seconds to move. And then you're going to be laid out. And so it's like, this is my body. This is mine. The only one who was born with this was me, and I decide everything about it, not you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can understand that, you know, because it is when, you know, just like if you may doing it in the heat of the moment and then you decide, well, I don't want this, you know, get off me, leave me alone. And the same thing when your husband, you know, he may want to have sex this particular night and you say, well, I'm going to go on and give it to him. And then all of a sudden he gets on, you say, no, I don't want to do this. I told you earlier I didn't want to do it. And if he doesn't get off of you, then that is considered, and if he continues, that's considered to be rape. But I don't know if it would be recognized in court because they always try to say, well, that's your husband. He's supposed to do it. But no, if you tell him no, he's not supposed to do it. You know, and some of these women need to recognize that because a lot of women will have sex with their husband just because he wants it, you know, and you're laying there crying your eyeballs out and you get up mad and also just say no. But we need to speak on how to, there are some provisions as far as like keeping at bay from a rapist and things that women should do not to, you know, get in those predicaments as far as like being in a position where a man gets you alone, you know, be in groups when you go out with your girlfriends and never leave your drink, never leave your drink. If you leave your drink, you come back, get another one because you never know who may have dropped something in it, and then you have your girlfriends may even try to set you up. I had a girlfriend one time try to set me up and have some friends of her to pull a train on me. And I said, what kind of mess
is this? Oh, she must have hated you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But then she talking about, I ain't know what they was going to do. And, you know, what had happened was they lived in a three-story house, and I was maybe, I think I maybe was about 16, 17, I don't know. But she said that to go to the top floor, that she was setting me up there for something. So when I got up there, it was about four guys up there. So they was, like, sitting around on a bed and on the floor, and, you know, they was looking at me like I was a piece of meat. And one of the guys grabbed me. I got to screaming and hollering and kicking and fighting until her parents was down on the ground floor, and they came up there. And I said, they said, what's going on in here? I just screamed. I ran out of there. And then the girl, she going to tell me, I didn't know what they was going to do. Yes, you did. Yes,
oh,
you
wow.
did. They were some friends of her brother's. You know, they was all upstairs in his room, whatever. She's sending me up there to get something. But, you know, you have to be also be aware of your friends, you know, because sometimes they may be in cahoots with the men that they go out with. Or, you know, they just you just can't really put your trust in everybody. And if you see a situation where something doesn't look right, then it ain't right.
I tell y'all that apple don't fall too far from the tree. When my daughter was in college, when she went away, I, you know, had all the regular lectures to her. And everything that was the norm was magnified because, like I said, you don't have no, we're not there watching your back. You have to do that together. So she loved to dance. And so she loved going out to these parties. And I always cautioned her, if you go out, first of all, don't have more than one drink, number one. I told her, after that first drink, drink some pop, drink some water. Don't drink any more liquor. And she looked at me, she said, oh, you ain't got to worry about that. I said, Rhea, you can have one drink. She said, oh, no, I can't. I looked at her, she said, oh, no, I don't drink when I'm out. If I want to drink, I drink when I get back to my dorm. I drink that week. I don't drink when I'm out. I said, you don't even get pop. She said, oh, no. She said, if I don't drink, I'll have to go to the bathroom.
Well, that's a good thing because, like,
she,
these women.
She said she didn't trust it. She just, she didn't, and she said, I'm there to dance. I want to dance and have a good time. Couple of hours, dollar and a half of dance, and we can go back to the, well, we good.
Yeah, because you never know. You never know.
And so many of them got fall down drunk, and that was another reason she has an issue with drunks. And she was, but I thought that was funny. I said, that apple didn't fall too far from that tree, did it?
Yeah, but, you know, just keep your eyes open and, you know, you go out to drink or whatever, you know, be social about it. Don't get all drunk up till you don't know your name and then some guy's taking you off somewhere. You know, it's such thing as date rape, too. You go out with a guy, then all of a sudden he just feel like he wants to rape you because he took you out on a date. You know, you have to be very careful about that, too. And if you need
to use the negative word, he think he's old something.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They think they, especially if they buy you a drink or take you out to dinner. It's like, really? Okay.
Not. But, yeah, so I think we've covered the three subject matter of tonight's topic, incest, rape, and kinky sex. And hopefully, you know, those who are out there listening, you learned something and you're going to be a little bit safer when you go out on your next date. And all you youngsters out there drinking and getting drunk around these little boys, don't, you know, be careful what you when they give you a drink too. Don't let these youngsters give you no drink, because 9 times out of 10 they done put something in it. And watch your little girlfriends too, because sometimes they be writing on a thing wanting, you know, Because, you know, if they, especially if they're jealous of you, they'll turn you over to the wolves in a minute. You know. So we've come to another end of a great show. And I just want to let everybody know that Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience. And our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life. We appreciate you, our listening audience, for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com or to either of my co-hosts, Rhea at riaalexis@yahoo.com. That's riaalixis@yahoo.com and Danny at munchthemouth@gmail.com. That's munchthemouth@gmail.com. And the subject line or put topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour or however long it takes to finish the show and having adult conversations. And tune in every first Friday of the month for Open Topic and the last Friday of the month for my musical show. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., please stop by Gail's Blues Joints for some blues and sassy music. Remember, bringing sexy back doesn't mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. And I'd like to thank Deborah Cooper, our returning guests, Rhea and Danny, my listening audience, the chat room, BM Webb, Ms. Kane and Paniki, all the people who are out there listening. And tomorrow is the holiday, so be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't drive and drink. I like talking to you, not about you. With that being said, I'm going to say good night and be sexy. Smooches.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.